This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Rock and roll, meow.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. Let me hear the people here as we are live here. There we go. We are live here, our first Thirsty Thursday here at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we are off 290 here in Cypress. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Make sure you make your way on out here. There are prizes you can win, $4 Bud Lights, and drink specials all over the place, food specials as well here at Buffalo Wild Wings. So make your way on out here and join us. As I said, we'll be here till 6 o'clock. And you can enjoy yourself with us. Clint, it's 3 o'clock. We're here, and we are happy to be joined by Texans. I think I can say this. Maybe you can let the cat out of the bag for us. I believe the starting left tackle for the Houston Texans, Arianti Ursary. Are you the starting left tackle? Is that the case? Okay. Hello?
Looks like the rookie hung up on us. Let me get him back, boys.
All right. Damn. You should have answered it.
You should have answered it, T.
All right. Damn it. All right. We lost the
I'll be at LT.
Yeah, you're going to have to wait till Sunday and find out. 3:25, you'll find out.
Okay. All right. So maybe that question, is that the sign? Like, don't ask that question. I just want to make sure we were talking to the left tackle. Hopefully we will hear back from him get his thoughts on what's going on with the Rams.
Just got a text message. You can't do it right now.
Wow.
You check it. You don't believe me? You don't trust me?
I do. All right. Okay.
Hey, appreciate that, y'all.
I just saw that text.
Yeah. All right.
Week one. Let's go.
Right, there it is. Woo! That's okay. All right. We can bounce off Arianti Ursary. Hopefully we get to hear from him some point this year. But apparently not right now or today. Right? 2:10. All right. Clint, there was and Tyler, if we can move to this, something CJ Stroud had to say yesterday. CJ Stroud spoke to the media, and I know this really jumped out to you, Clint, with C.J. Stroud. And he spoke and was asked the question right off the bat in the interview, what is it about the Nick Caley offense, the scheme that he is running now, what is it that makes it such a good fit for you? How does it fit you better? This was C.J. Stroud's response, and I know it really jumped out to you, his answer.
It's a lot of different ways. I feel like a lot of times the NFL, from what I've learned, is like a lot of coaches or teams try to make like the player fit the scheme instead of the scheme fitting the player. I think it's sometimes a good thing because you get to challenge yourself to try new things. But also, I think you should come in and try to have the scheme fit the players in a way, just because, you know, like, you're really, there's some certain guys are really good at X, Y, and Z, not good at A, B, and C. And I think, like, there's a balance you need to have to, like, challenge yourself to try new things, but also doing things that, you know, you're already naturally good at. So this offense does a good job at that, of, like, doing things that guys are naturally good at, but also challenging to try new things. So
All right. That jumped out to you, Clint. What was it? What was it that really spoke to you when you heard him talk about that?
Look, we'll find out about Nick Caley when rubber meets the road on Sunday. But leading up to it, I think there's two things that, as a fan, I find it fascinating. I find it interesting. Like the everybody in the organization has been asked about Nick Caley, and all we know is juice and energy. And then, like, C.J. Stroud's inability to tell to answer the question of how does this scheme fit you better, when clearly we've heard how the last scheme didn't fit anybody. Well, that's a tad bit concerning for me. You know, I expected these guys, like C.J. Stroud of all people, the ability for him to have more control at the line of scrimmage in this system is an absolute game changer.
You've been in favor of it.
It is an absolute game changer. I mean, one, that's how you're going to win games with your quarterback having that level of control. But two, like, if you're going to pay C.J. Stroud $60 million, he's got to control the line of scrimmage. He's got to be the guy that protects himself. He's got to be the guy that gets communication right. And him having more power and more control at the line of scrimmage is absolutely paramount, you know. And you know, talk about the usage of the tight ends and his expertise, Nick Caley, that, you know, being Nick Caley, the usage of the tight ends, you know, the physicality approach and how they installed this offense and led with physicality and communication up front. Those are all things that I think are just super low-hanging fruit, real, not ducking and dodging, but very real ways that C.J. Stroud fits this system. And for whatever, at least from the outside looking in, it seems that way. I just hope that what we see, the system and how we see the system fitting C.J. Stroud, is a little bit more apparent than their ability to answer that question.
Yeah, as I am getting roasted here on the text line and YouTube and Twitch, and you continue, you should, especially how that sounded. I can't help it, Tyler. You know, Clint and Tyler, you know, it's easy for me to get here. But I thought a similar thing you thought, Clint. I'm like, it felt like to me, fellas, that, and maybe it's just my ear, but it felt like to me he gave more reason to why it didn't work with Bobby last year than he actually gave on what the hell fits his system, right?
Like, Bobby,
I'm sorry, and maybe it's just the way I hear it, but when you say, yeah, this system allows you to be able to do the things that you're naturally good at and not put you that clearly, he said, when I've been in the NFL, what I've learned – well, hell, you only been in one system. When I've been in the NFL, what I have learned is, like, players need to be in the situations where they're naturally at their best. Okay, man, you didn't have to say that. That's not what the question was. The question is, how does it fit you? And to be honest, Clint is kind of placing it in a nice way. You didn't have nothing to say. And you ain't had nothing to say about how it fits you. And instead, it seems like you want to roll out on, hey, now let me tell you, I don't know how it fits me, but I'm going to tell you right now what didn't fit me last year. No, tell us what it is about the system. And I bet you, hell, Clint just from watching could tell without giving away a game plan how it fits.
Well, that's the interesting thing about
– maybe it was just me.
No. Look, that's the interesting thing about a new offensive coordinator is you know, you just can't – the leaning heavily on – and as a fan, this is just a fan of the team. Leaning heavily on juice and energy leads me to a spot of, hey, man, is there some real substance there, right? Did we just remove a guy that was a little bit confrontational and put another guy in here that'll do whatever Nick and D'Amico and everybody wants him to do, or do you have a real offensive mind in there? You know, I think that's the big question. Other than the offensive line, I think that's the big question with the Texans moving forward is you can't really gauge from anything that anybody's saying when they're asked about Nick Caley. There's nothing that, you know, there's really nothing that you can gather from what we've been told about him. And look, Sunday, show up Sunday and do big things, and it don't matter. But it is interesting.
But interesting, though, this, Clint, you're watching from afar. You're not in the meetings. What are you, just off the top of your head, see? Like, you can see things that this system seems to fit him more, right?
Oh yeah. No, yeah. I just rattled him off. I think the, you know, his at least self-proclaimed everywhere he's been, he's had more control. You know, that is where I would start. You know, and then, you know, the tight end usage, I think, is a low-hanging fruit that you could go with. You know, the fact that they seem to be playing faster, so the terminology and the coaching and teaching of the terminology, you know, is clearly better. I think there's some substance there watching them, but it's just interesting that nobody from within, you know, lends much to it.
And it's there. It's not like this isn't like when I another time where maybe I was almost hung up on when I posed the question to Mark Ingram. By the way, man, my man Mark be wearing them bright ass suits up there on that Big Noon kickoff. It just really catches me off guard. Everybody else is in black, blue, or gray, and he's in real bright joints. But anyway, it's not like when I asked him, "Hey, man, you got any? What would you say is the superpower of David Culley?" And you know, he was stomped. This isn't a deal where you're stomped. There's some actual things
would like to think there is. Yes.
Yeah. There's some actual things. So I just. Again, you weren't here last week. I've been up to here with the every chance we get, just different guys that are leaders on the offense that just keep referencing back to how terrible the coaching and stuff was last year, and not just, hey man, just forget about it. That's why I can't wait for this game on Sunday. And you know, Titus did it last week and now right here doing it again. So I just cannot. Now, wait, someone texted in, I totally read CJ's response differently. Agree, he didn't specifically answer the question, but I read he was saying the scheme does fit him better than the last, not concerning.
Yeah, I mean, to each their own, man, however you want to hear it. Saying the scheme fits me better and not lending any substance to it beyond that is interesting. If you want to just take the answer to the question of yeah, it fits me better and keep moving, that's fine too. I mean, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Just telling you what I heard.
All right. What we are hearing is that we will and the text line, as you should, are giving me hell. From the text line, Ron really knows how to ask questions. Good job, show. Will the
you done pissed off Ariante Ursary.
Will the Ursary interview in its entirety be available on the rewind feature on the
that's a strong
that
text.
Is, on the that Odyssey. Is yeah. good.
No, that's
that
good. Good. From YouTube and Twitch, Sam said Ron was like watching a stand-up comedian come up and get booed on his opener. Casario stepped in and said, nope.
For the record, the big rookie is going to be joining us at some point today on the show. He just had a meeting yet.
Allegedly. The rookie will be. Show got everyone in trouble from hey, Rob.
Hey, that's how it normally
just,
goes.
Hey, let's just wait till we connect. All right, let's not.
I said allegedly.
Let's not overpromise and underdeliver, boys. Yeah. Let's not.
Can you hear me now?
I can only handle one of those a day. Let's. I mean, I'm doing everything I can to be cool with it. Let's just.
week one shakeups. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
No, that was. Okay. That one, yes, you should be able to go right now on the rewind feature on the Odyssey app and be able to catch that right now. It's the full go of it.
That's and you'll catch it at the outro today as well.
This is about the third or fourth time in my illustrious career that this has happened to me. Tony Gonzalez was on a cricket phone once. And I crushed him for it when he got his back. But he's on a cricket phone. And my opening question went like that, too. And I'm like, Tony? Tony? All right. Tony's And he said, oh, just my phone dropped. And I said, what kind of phone company you with? He said, I got a cricket. No,
oh,
I crushed Tony Gonzalez right to the near front. That cricket phone right there. But hopefully we do get to hear from the big fella. Someone said John Lopez was a part of this. Show gets ghosted by the Rook. No, man, keep it coming. That's fine. That's how that rolls. But other people there are commenting on the CJ Stroud part of it. Hey, fellas, to your point about CJ's answer to that question about how the scheme fits him, I feel like this year a lot of players on this team have noticed that he has said a few times about how writers and people on Twitter can't miss the point of what he is trying to say or to come up with to create a headline. So maybe that goes into him being more vague.
Yeah, look, being vague, you can, and this ain't a CJ deal. This is just the reality. I mean, it is, if you want to avoid people not understanding you or people taking things out of context that you say or don't say, then just shoot it straight.
Yeah.
Just shoot it straight. I mean, so, we can play this whole, you know, D'Amico getting mad at the reporters for one asking questions about injuries and being vague here and that's fine. I mean, nobody's done it like Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio did up in New England, and I think Nick leans into that here, and that's fine. But a byproduct of being vague and not answering questions from the horse's mouth is people speculate. People that cover the team, people that make a living and their job is to cover the team and provide content for the team, it's going to get misconstrued. Things are going to get taken out of context, and it's just part of the deal when you have so many people that are covering the team. And in today's world, in 2025, you got people that have their own podcast that have no parameters whatsoever. They're just part of the quote unquote media. There's no boss. That's part of the world that you live in today. If you're vague, if you don't answer, then you're given a one-way ticket to speculation and things of that nature. Fair or foul, it's just the reality of it.
One of the most extensive, in-depth interviews I've heard on The Drive, Marconi Award-winning interview. That's why we're there, man.
The Drive is live.
Hey, man. Hey, Philly, show me you can do that. Show me you can do the Ariane Terrestri interview. You think they're up for the award with this? Show us you can do it. Huh? Come on now.
That is rich.
Detroit, 97, the ticket. Show us you can do it. Huh? You got it? Come on, Valenti. Show us you can do it. You can't do what we just did.
Nothing.
I think that put us in the driver's seat, Tyler. I really do. All right, coming up, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can join us as well. We're going to get them on record, our preseason NFL predictions. I have been the closest the last 2 years, I will just say that. But we will get them down on paper. You could do it. Who's your defensive player of the year? Who's your MVP? What's your Super Bowl look like? We will do our preseason awards coming up next.
You're going to get hard.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends in Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we have breaking news. Tyler, what is the latest breaking news with the Texans?
Yes, we have our first Houston Texans breaking news of the football season heading into this week one in L.A. Adam Schefter reporting here. Texans receiver Christian Kirk, he has a strained hamstring, and he is expected to be sidelined for at least Sunday's week one opener against the Rams for the Houston Texans, and possibly Christian Kirk could be out longer than just week one. That is the latest from Schefter.
Wow. All right. We talked about that earlier in the show as we opened up. Braxton Berrios and Christian Kirk had missed with hamstring issues all week, and we'll see about Braxton Berrios. But Aaron Wilson did just report this. Texans are preparing to play without both Christian Kirk and Braxton Berrios due to their hamstring issues. And as Tyler just said, the Christian Kirk one seems a bit more serious, that he could be out a couple of weeks. Your thoughts, your reaction to not just this game, but this could be the Bucs. This could be even longer.
Yeah, it's worst case scenario. I mean, we've said it multiple times. Like, this is what you worry about when you go out and you sign a guy like Christian Kirk, is obviously the injury issues.
And that's been his problem.
It bites you in the ass before the opening week, number one. Number two, you lose your second best wide receiver. And be honest with you, the gap between the number two receiver and the three receiver is wider than the gap between one and two. So you got some serious, like, proven talent, veteran type of play problems below Christian Kirk. So that in itself, you lose a great player. And then, as I've said multiple times, I think maybe even the most important part of this is, as we go into the Texans season against a really good defensive front, like it rubber's meeting the road Sunday at 3:25. Can you fix your offensive line problems? Can you protect the face of your franchise, C.J. Stroud? And I believe, look, obviously that starts with the offensive line, right? But a big part of that is giving your quarterback answers immediately when the ball snapped and immediately when pressure's coming. And I believe a big part of that, those answers were going to be with Christian Kirk. He is a receiver that's played inside the formation his entire career. He's a receiver that has seen the game through the quarterback lens his entire career, even when he was at A&M. You know, he was one of the more cerebral guys. And so he was going to be a real weapon in protecting C.J. Stroud. And so I think this is worst-case scenario for the Texans is you choose to go the route of Nico Collins, Christian Kirk, and others. And now Christian Kirk's injury issues have bit you in the ass. It's unfortunate for the Texans. We're going to find out how good D'Amico Ryans is at drafting wide receivers. You know, because you got two guys that were drafted in the second and third round that you absolutely need at this point. You absolutely have to have at this point. Now, I think they're going to lean into 19. I think that this
so
is.
So you think more 19 than Noel?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, yes. I think big picture.
Because that's who my mind immediately went to, because punt returner, you're potentially without.
Yeah.
That seems like Noel. And then the slot guy, which seemed like it would be Noel. But you think Hutch is going to be the guy that gets a bigger look there.
Based on what I know and what I've seen, I would feel better about Hutch. He's got great chemistry with the quarterback. He clearly can play every position and knows what to do and where he needs to be and how to get there. I would think Hutch. But I'll be honest with you, I'd love to, as a Texans fan, I'd love to be wrong. I'd love to see Jalen Noel jump in there and all of a sudden this dude can play slot, can handle that load in the NFL, can all of a sudden jump back and return punts when need be. I would like to be wrong here, but I would imagine that it's more of a Hutch, Nico, Higgins type of look than Noel getting the hell. I mean, I think he gets run. As I've said before, I think he's the higher volume guy. So I think you just keep his role the same and you up the ante for Xavier Hutchinson is what I would do.
Yeah, but now you're upping the ante anyway. Like, how much do you want him in the offense? How much is the punt returning duties take away from him potentially being, you know, as much on the offense with that? To me, I think you do lose something if it is – obviously you lose something, but I think you do lose that slot position quickness and getting in and out of breaks real quick and being able – the two-way goes.
Yep,
and,
yep.
I don't think Xavier Hutchinson when I think Noel much more with that and as you said he'll get some run. I just think we talked about it. A big thing, as you said, bam, Christian Kirk will be able to uncover quickly and be right there to show his numbers and give him somewhere to go.
And I don't know
that I see that with Hutchinson.
You don't. You know, I mean, no, you don't see that. Like,
I think with Noel, you probably got a better chance with that.
You're physically, the skill set you're talking about, you are spot on. Absolutely. The knock on Hutch is the ability to separate at all, much less immediately, right? And he doesn't have, relative to NFL receivers, he doesn't play with a lot of twitch. And you look at Noel plays with a lot of twitch, and the skill set needs to consist of this, right? Can you get off the ball versus press? Can you get off the ball versus anybody that's out there in your face? And number two, can you get out of your break? Those two things. Yeah. I don't care about your top-end speed. I don't care about how big you are.
It's just right there.
Can you do those two things to give my quarterback a target, an option, immediately when pressure hits? You know, and there's no doubt, Noel is more skill set-wise a fit for that, no question. But is he fit to get up there and know this week against this defense the all the different pressures they're going to throw at us to know how to react? Can he identify it? Can he execute the pressure plan? That's the key. That's a big load for any rookie wide receiver. You think about it. You throw a guy out wide. You know Higgins out wide. Hey man, you know the route tree. You know the basic shell coverage. Is a safety rolled over the top or is it middle closed? Do you have one-on-one or is there safety over the top? You really, that and to play outside wide receiver, that's really all you need to know. And yet, it helps to be taller and longer and be able to run the route tree, right? Cool. You get inside, and now all of a sudden, you've got a nickel defender in your face. You got a linebacker that's coming inside out on you. You've got a if Higgins and Nico are to the other side, now you got a corner potentially in your face if they stay two. And I mean, it's just it's a whole different animal mentally on that inside. And so, can Jalen Noel handle that load, and or can Xavier Hutchinson display some of that twitch and that suddenness that you look for out of that slot and give you some options?
Text line coming through. Clint is giving too much praise to Kirk that Noel is a definite upgrade there. Someone else texting in, I feel like Kirk will be fine. I think they are just testing the rooks to see if they can step up at moment's notice. Sir, I can assure you that Nick Cayley and the – are you guys serious with these texts? I can assure you that Nick Cayley and D'Amico aren't saying, hey, Christian, set these next couple of games out against the Rams and the Bucks. Let's really test it and see what Jalen Noel can do. Let's sit you down and see what the rooks are. No, he's hurt. They want him in there. This is not a – they are not happy about this. And I think – and hopefully we'll see that Jalen Noel will jump in here and be able to handle this thing. I personally think he's probably the better option just from a physical standpoint, as Clint just laid out in the slot. But – it is not just nothing for a player for the first time, a third-round pick, to walk into the NFL and have to take over the slot that he probably hasn't been running in that first unit and didn't think he would be doing that as much, and the kickoff return duties. That's not just nothing from a rookie. I'm not saying he's going to fail, but this ain't just
here's the deal is you know, if they decide to put him out there, they had a great track record with that. You look at Kalen Bullock, look at Kamari Lassiter, Ariante Ursary. They have done a tremendous job at playing players early and getting them to produce. Now, again, I think this is a heavy load for a rookie wide receiver. I mean, a month ago, he didn't even know the terminology of this offense. He didn't even know how to line up what the formations were, right? So, I think it's a heavy load, but they've done a good job of drafting very cerebral players that can play early and appear to be mature beyond their years. And if Noel is that, then he clearly has the better skill set for it. So, we'll see. They do have options. We'll see how good of options they have.
Yeah, we'll see. The news there, if you just missed, we definitely know that he has been ruled out for not just this week. It could be a couple of weeks. Their slot receiver, Christian Kirk, Braxton Berrios, according to Aaron Wilson, could also miss this first game. They are planning to go without both Kirk and Braxton Berrios. That is the report. That's their kick returner and their slot receiver. That's the report coming from Adam Schefter and Aaron Wilson covering the Texans. All right, coming up. We will catch you up on that as well as do our preseason NFL picks as we continue live right here on The Drive.
Duval.
It's a Thirsty Thursday with our friends at Bud Light on Sports Radio 610. Live from Buffalo Wild Wings off 290 in Cypress, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as we are live. Let me hear the people out here. Let me hear. Clap it up. Hey, you in the golf shirt, man. Clap your hand. Hey, you in the golf shirt. Clap your hands, baby. I need you. There we go. I need you. Beer on me, baby. There you go. I'm going to get everyone. I'm going to get somebody.
Look, he immediately turned to that bartender and said, you heard him?
You heard him, damn it. Get him. No, but we're having a good time. We are here. Buffalo Wild Wings, our first Thirsty Thursday of the season. And I see the Bud Light girls, the Bud Light people around here handing out some prizes themselves. My man right there, your Razorback, got him one. There you go. Come I on. See you. And you can have some fun here with us. Again, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, if you have not put your name in our raffle box, you got a chance to win some Bud Light swag. And in the 5 o'clock hour, there is a signed football from the Pro Bowler, Daniil Hunter. You can win in the 5 o'clock hour. All you got to do is put your name in our raffle box. Shay right here, hold it up. He will help you out, and you got a chance to walk away as a winner. So come on out. It is a good time that we're having. We'll be here till 6 o'clock. Football is back. A little bit later on, the Eagles and the Cowboys will get going. I do want to get across some news. If you missed it in the last segment, Tyler came in with breaking news. It looks like Christian Kirk will miss a couple of games potentially with a strained hamstring. So he is definitely out Sunday and could be out for a couple of weeks. So that is not great news. And then Aaron Wilson reports they are planning to go without not just Christian Kirk, but also their punt returner and another option in the slot, Braxton Berrios. He also is having a hamstring issue. And then when we get to injuries, nobody does it better than the Houston Astros. So let's slide over there to the Dyke and Park. The Astros, according to Joe Espada, are still awaiting MRI results from Spencer Arrighetti. They placed Spencer Arrighetti on the IL yesterday with right elbow inflammation. Joe Espada acknowledged it will be, quote, tough for him to get back for the remainder of the regular season. So that is the latest there with Spencer Arrighetti. And, Clint, we talked about it when we first said this in the 2 o'clock hour. Hell, it's September, man. It's September 4th right now. The postseason starts in October. You got right elbow inflammation. It's hard to think that time frame adding up. This may just be a really tough lost season for Spencer Arrighetti, and this isn't great news.
It's definitely something them boys need to lose a little sleep over. I mean, look, here's the deal. Yeah. It's one of three for me. I mean, the Astros, as an Astros fan, I just need one of three to work out. I don't care. I felt like I was somewhat emotionally tied to Lance McCullers, and now that he has clearly pissed down his leg and he is not part of this equation.
And you walked off of that.
I'm done. I mean, I don't have any. Like, I wanted, like, I genuinely, they're on their way. I genuinely and sincerely wanted to see him rebound and help us win some games. Clearly, that's not going to happen. Now, I'm down to one of three. I need Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Spencer Arrighetti. I need one of those three to step up. I don't care. I honestly don't care which one it is. I need one of those three guys to prove that they can be a number three starter in a rotation and we can have confidence going against a playoff caliber baseball team. That's it. One of three. Don't care who it is. And Spencer Arrighetti, as you mentioned, if this tightness turns into something beyond the 15-day IL, then obviously he's out of the mix and I'm down to one of two. But right now, I got a three-horse race, and I just need one of them to finish.
Yeah.
And a very promising weekend from all three of them.
It was.
So, you know, hopefully one of them can stay the course for the next – I mean, damn, what are we down to? We got to be down to 17, 18 games left?
Probably around 20 games, something around that.
I believe it's 22, I want to say.
22?
Yeah.
I'm 22 and I'm back in the game. I hear – yeah, it's low there, so – that's the latest there from the injury front from both the Texans and the Astros. All right, let's roll through them. 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can do this as well. Tyler, you can jump in also if you so choose. Actually, you better, at least because I want to write these down. Because last year I had Josh Allen winning the MVP. I had the Chiefs and the Lions in the Super Bowl, so I got half of that right. But we'll go through our preseason picks to have them on the board. Let's start with some fun here, Clint and Tyler. Clint, who is one team, because this happens every year, there's a team that missed the playoffs that seems to come back and make the playoffs the next year. Who is your one team that you would say, all right, this team didn't make the playoffs last year, but they'll make it this year?
I'm going to give you one in each on each side, in each conference. I'm going to give you Bengals in the AFC, the Atlanta Falcons in the NFC. I don't think it's a stretch. I'm not. This isn't earth shattering. The Bengals got arguably, the best quarterback offense in the league, and the Atlanta Falcons were, what, they have eight wins last year. I mean, so they're not far from it, a couple wins away from it. But I'm gonna go with those two. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, that offense, high scoring offense. Boy, if they can just put any level of defense on the field, then they got a real chance to make the playoffs, and then. Atlanta, I just like those. I like the youngsters that they've got. They got a lot of talent at the skill position offensively. Made some moves on the defensive side to get better in the pass rush department. I like Atlanta. I'll go with them to make the playoffs.
I had two AFC teams I was struggling with. The Patriots, I think, are
– wow, that's a big jump.
Or a team – yeah, I think Mike Vrabel, Drake May was starting to show some things And their division is it's Buffalo, but then it's Miami, who looks like they're liable to fall apart at any point, fire their coach in the middle of the season, and then obviously the Jets are kind of starting over. But I decided to go with the Jags. I think the Texans will win the division, but I think the Jags. Yeah, I think the Jags can be a wild card team with their schedule and their division as well. And I like the upgrades they had. And yes, that dude is weird, but he seems to find a way to handle quarterbacks and offenses. And so I like the Jags to be a team that made it, that didn't make it last year, to make it this year.
Try to tell you, man, Jags and Angels.
Tyler, you
Jags
got one?
Jags and Angels. I do.
You got one, Tyler?
I got
a
one
team
for you.
Go ahead.
San Francisco 49ers.
That's a good one.
Last year was a disaster, but in the Lynch era, man, I mean, they've been one of the prototypical squads you would want heading into the playoffs each and every season in San Francisco until last year. So if things stay healthy, I'm rolling with the 49ers.
All right, Clint, who was your defensive player of the year and your MVP this year?
You'll like this. I'm going defensive player of the year, Will Anderson, and I don't think it's a homer take. I think he's in the conversation. I think when you look at defensive player of the year, you got to have double digit sacks off the end. I think more than likely, and I think he gets there. You got to be a guy that plays the run as well as you play the pass. I think he checks that box, and I think he has officially arrived on the NFL landscape, and people are going to give credit where credit is due. I think Will Anderson is a guy that I see getting defensive player of the year.
Your MVP?
MVP, I'm going Jaden Daniels.
Oh, okay.
Going Jaden Daniels.
You like Washington.
Yeah, well, I think, they add weapons, they add protection. He gets his offensive coordinator back. It's a high-flying offense. I do think the legs are real with Jaden Daniels. A lot of guys use their legs and maybe have a big year when it's not expected. I think his legs are real. I think he's as good as anybody not named Lamar Jackson when it comes to using his legs as part of their plan and what they do. I think Jaden Daniels is the guy this year.
All right, if Clint is right, Cal and Hannah, 48-200. That would be the numbers that you might want to start looking at.
Hold
with
on,
Will
Joe.
Anderson if he wins defensive player of the year. Micah Parsons got $47 million. He got $190 million overall. That's the numbers you got to start looking at.
Get that checkbook ready.
There you go. For me, defensive player of the year, I'm gonna go Micah Parsons. I think the Packers are gonna be really good, and there's a story there that people are gonna be watching, and I think he's gonna go off because I think he's got a better defense around him. And then my MVP is Joe Burrow. I think Joe Burrow will win enough games this year. And they are throwing the hell out of it, and he'll put up big numbers. And it's always about a story. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and now Mahomes has two. Josh Allen won his first one last year. Lamar's got two. He is the one quarterback of those guys that haven't won it. So I go Joe Burrow. Tyler, who's your defensive player of the year and your MVP?
Ooh, defensive player of the year. I'm going to go with the Aggie that won it in 2023, Myles Garrett. I think he'll be even more motivated in some ways after getting that big payday for the Cleveland Browns. And he'll go to work as he always does. So I got Myles Garrett there. And MVP, I don't know. I want to say Mahomes, but I really hope I'm wrong. I'm tired of him.
No need to be wrong about that.
All right, tired of the White House kid.
You
man.
Got it. You got Mahomes on there. All right, what's your who's your Super Bowl, Clint?
My Super Bowl is Eagles, Ravens.
Yeah, I think that I've seen that a lot. I've seen that picked a lot. Tyler, I'm gonna go. Chiefs, Packers. As I said, I think Micah is gonna have a big year, and I think the Chiefs are pissed. All right, Tyler, what's your Super Bowl?
I'm going Eagles-Bills.
Eagles-Bills. I've seen that a lot, too. A lot of people love the Eagles, and a lot of people love the Bills and the Ravens. That's what Vegas kind of has it there, too. What you got coming up at the four?
Well, I got several things we got to get to the bottom of. I got some advice for the Texans. I'm going to make Astros fans decide between Biggio and Bagwell, and we got a Thursday night football game that we got to talk a little bit about. Jerry ain't never needed one more in his life. We'll do that next.